It's the reason the cornerstone of our theology, I believe, must be the goodness of God. Because otherwise, you will always question His goodness when things don't work the way you think it should. Yeah, I love you too. Thank you. Please go ahead and sit down. Sit. Thanks. Wow. You guys are in spitting distance. What are you guys doing so far back there? It's the only place there was chairs, right? Yeah, I'd be sitting back there too. I can get to the ground. It's just a long ways back up. I must be getting taller too, because when I drop something, it's farther to pick it up, I've noticed. So, yeah. Everyone who's ever been in an automobile accident and you still have lingering problems, stand up. Okay, I actually want all of you that stood, just the ones that stood, to come and line up right in front of this camera thing here. I'm sorry?
Motorcycle.
yeah. Motorcycle works. yeah. Just line up right just across there. In fact, all of you guys that are in front of the kind of the camera there, just scoot up a little bit to make room. Yeah. Now, don't all of a sudden get inspired and say, I think I was hurt in an automobile accident and you want prayer. Don't do that. All right. Who is it that you actually got an injury in your right shoulder, and it's especially this back part right here, right, this section right here? Who's that? Okay. All right, each of you that just put your hand up, that's you. Start moving it around, because you should be healed already.
Yes.
Just start moving around and just looking to see what the Lord has done. Your right shoulder, start moving around, all right? Start doing what you couldn't do. Now, as soon as you know that you were just healed, I want you just to wave a hand at me so I can see you. You're right here? Yeah, beautiful. Right over here. Yeah, another one. Right here. All right. How long ago was the accident? How long ago?
Maybe a year.
A year ago? Year and a half? Yeah, wonderful. Thank you, Lord. How long ago?
The last one.
So there's been a series. Jesus, help this guy. Keep him out of wrecks. Come on. How long for... Quite a few years ago, yeah. All right. There's also somebody, we're going to pray for all of you in just a heartbeat here, but there's also someone, yeah, it's all right, hold on. There's also someone here that actually you have pain all through your spine. I don't know if it goes all the way down to the tailbone, but it would at least be in the belt area all the way up to the neck. Who is that? Okay. There's quite a few of you. There's also someone here, and this, it may not be an automobile accident, but you were injured. You may have been hit. You could have hit the dashboard or something, but you have sharp pains on a regular basis right on the right side of your forehead, right in this area right here. There's a sharp pain that you have on, I would assume it's on somewhat of a regular basis. If you're in the line, then that's you. Put a hand up. If you're in the... in your audience somewhere, put your hand up because I want to see who you are. Okay, right here. Okay. There's also someone that because of an accident, there's weakness on the right side of your body, especially from your hip down. But it just, since the accident, it just is different. I don't think it's numb, but it just doesn't, it feels less than the right side. Would that describe you? Okay, well, Jesus is doing a healing work in you. That's you too? You just remembered. Well, then get in on this. Hurry, stand up. Yeah, all right. All right, let's do this. Extend a hand towards these. Now, I'm sorry. This is an awkward way to do this. I don't think I've ever done this before. How many of you broke bones and they did not heal correctly? How many of you, that would be the case for you? Okay, all right. And some that are sitting out there, okay. All right, there's quite a few. All right. We have had through the years, on somewhat of a regular basis, we've had the Lord reset bones. Sometimes people hear it and feel it. Other times they just discover that it's actually back to where it was, a broken collarbone that grew over itself like this. And the Lord just reset it, literally just joined together. So we're just going to pray. I want all of you that are seated here and out there, extend a hand towards these, our friends. And we're going to pray right now for the miracle of the Lord to come. And those of you that are standing there, you actually don't need to pray. I want you to be aware of what's happening in your body. I want you just to be conscious of the fact that God is touching you. He sent his word and is healing you right now. And so we just ask right now, Holy Spirit, come in power. We speak to that weakness that's on the right side of the body. We speak life to you in Jesus' name. We declare a healing resetting of broken bones. Be mended now in Jesus' name. Is there anyone, keep praying, folks, but let me talk over it if I can. Is there anyone here who, because of an accident, you actually have, goodness, I think it's loss of hearing. Is it possible to have a loss of hearing because of does that make sense to anybody? You're in some sort of an accident, some sort of an injury, and you actually have hearing loss as a result of that. Does that make sense to anybody? Put your hand up if that's you. Okay, does that make sense to you? Okay, all right. So just pray, continue to pray, folks. I want some of our, in fact, can I trust you, Portuguese people, you Brazilians? Can I trust you to not hurt them? Can I trust you to pray for them and not hurt them? Can I? Then I want some of you to get up and just go find out where they were injured. All right, go do that right now. Just some of you get up. Just go to somebody who's standing there. You have to get up off the ground. Get up off the ground. Oh, need translators. Minor details. Yeah. Just go pray. Just have them pray. But I want some of our pastoral team to roam too. And just
tell them.
Yeah, no. Just go out and pray for them. All right. All of you sitting down, just somehow get engaged in this thing, would you? You can stand. You can actually come behind them and pray as well. We're just going to pray for each one of these. There's someone here that has damage to a tendon in the arm. It's tendon damage in the arm. You may still be sitting in the crowd because it may not. Is that you? Okay. Then just lay hands on that part of the arm and command it to be well right now in Jesus' name. If you're in the audience and you have tendon damage, you may not come from an automobile accident. Is that you? We declare that healing word over that tendon now in Jesus' name. Those who are watching online, we declare the same thing over you in Jesus' name. Life, there's somebody watching that has, you have that thing on the right side of your body. In fact, there's somebody has it on the left side. So it doesn't matter what side, but because of an accident, there's a weakness, an overall weakness on one half of your body. And we command life into that body, into your body in Jesus' name. Let life come right now. Life come. Frequent migraine headaches ever since an accident, ever since an injury. We declare that healing word right now in Jesus' name. Right now. We command that curse of migraines be lifted off in the name of the Lord. I declare over you, Jesus became a curse that you would not have to bear the curse. We declare wholeness in that spine. Who is there in the audience that you actually fell and you injured your tailbone and you have ongoing issues? Is that you right over here? All right, we have more. Okay. If that's you in the audience, just stand up. Just stand where you are. Yeah, right there. I don't want anyone laying hands on the tailbone, but you can extend your hand, all right? And we just declare wholeness right now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right. Go ahead and end your prayer. Shh. Go ahead and end your prayer. Shh. Okay, you can end your prayer and back away from the person. Every one of you that received prayer, every one of you right now, do something that you either couldn't do or was hard to do, and examine to see what the Lord has already, what He has done. And anyone who is at least 80% better, I want you to wave your hands over your head like this, just to testify. The Lord is here. Put your hands over like this. Yep. Thank you, Lord. Yep. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Lord. Wonderful. Okay, all of you that receive prayer, just look up at me for a moment here. I'm going to have you examine yourself again. And sometimes we wait to feel something when people pray. And from what we've seen, maybe half the people we see healed actually feel something happen. They'll feel heat or coolness or tingling or something of that nature. But only half. The other half don't know what's happened until they try to move in a way they couldn't move. There's also somebody here, you've got an issue in the right side of your abdomen, right in here. It's below the rib cage, so it's right there. If that's you, put your hand on yourself and just declare yourself well right now. All right. So all of you that received prayer, I want you again to move in a way you couldn't move. In some way, examine yourself and challenge yourself. I don't want anyone to injure yourself, but I do want you to challenge to see what the Lord has done. And everyone who is at least 80% better. We say 80% because sometimes there'll be a healing that will take place and it'll take an hour or two for it to be complete. And so we like to celebrate the moment we see a significant portion is done. So anyone in the room who's at least 80% better right now, wave both hands over your head like this. Yeah, wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right, well, we bless you in the name of the Lord. How many of you couldn't say you're 80%, but something's going on, and you know it's good. All right, that's good, too. All right. Got a bunch of people out here. All right, go ahead and take your places. Go ahead and sit down. Thank you, my Brazilian friends, for being the ministry team tonight. All right. I'm not going to talk long, which is always relative. But we've been here quite a while already. It's been wonderful. How many of you were at the 10:30 service this morning? Man, just such a glory came into the room during that time of worship. Gabe's word was so fun and funny and tremendous. It was so good. But I just laughed and laughed and laughed. But the worship time, there was such a glory as Paul and Hannah led us this morning. Oh, so encouraged. Tonight was just so encouraging. I'm so thankful to have so many believers that like to just take time, you know, just to take time in the presence. I just got back Wednesday night from being in England for 20 days. And somebody had had a dream a couple months ago, maybe 3 or 4 months ago, they had a dream that I went to England, got in a hotel room, and sat there and wrote a book. And I thanked them for the dream, and as I normally do, I just put it in my stack of other suggestions that people have for my life. But it wouldn't go away. And it was one of those that just kind of remained. And I thought, maybe I should check into this. So I couldn't find a month, but I could find 20 days. And so I took off. There's a place that I've stayed at before in Stamford, England, the George Hotel. The wood paneling inside, like the dining room, is like from the 16th century. Jeez. So we're talking old. This isn't what I had planned to talk to you about tonight, but I, just to kind of give you a context for where I'm coming from, I went and I came back Wednesday and actually finished a book. I've never done it that way before. I've never done it that quickly before. Michael Van Tinderen's my PA, my personal assistant, and I was telling him the progress and how much I was getting done, and I finally finished. He said, "Man, next time you're going to write a book, I'm sending you to England. Get in a hotel and just, because I always have to try to fit in the time. You know, I'll take a Thursday and Friday off and just go write. I don't write on planes very well. It's too bad, because I'd have 1,000 books written if I did. But I went to write this book, and I have been choosing to get ready to write a specific book on the loss of my wife. And Cindy Jacobs, I was at H Rock down in Pasadena, and she came up to me. She had a vision of the book, not knowing I was going to write it. She had a vision of the book and the cover and the title. So it really helped me, because I didn't have a title. So I, listen to the prophet, and she tells you what the title is. I go, "Yes, ma'am." I just salute and do whatever she says, But it's Destroying the Sting of Death. Wow. Destroying the Sting of Death. So. And we spend this time in worship tonight, and it's vital that we look for unusual opportunities to draw near to Him. It's easy to do it when things have gone well. When you've had a good day, or you've had a promotion at work, or you found out you're pregnant and you've been wanting a child for years, or whatever it might be. We all have our lists of things that we become so encouraged with when we see them happen. And those are appropriate times for us to celebrate God's goodness and to give Him thanks and to give Him praise. But there are the scary moments, too, that you have no control of. You don't know why something happened. You didn't get the answer to prayer that you'd been contending for. We have those moments in life. And it may be a simple thing, maybe just a disappointment, a friend hurt your feelings, or you felt betrayed by somebody that you cared for. It could be something of that nature. It can be something that's a major, major loss, losing a wife or a child or a parent or a dear friend or whatever it might be. But there's these moments that we have in life that they cannot redefine the nature of God to us. He has to be revealed in Scripture to us, not through the absence of an experience. He cannot be redefined by the absence of an experience. It's the reason the cornerstone of our theology, I believe, must be the goodness of God. Because otherwise, you will always question His goodness when things don't work the way you think it should. And it's the craziest thing, is you can experience a tragic loss, and for some crazy reason, you forget everything good that God has done. It just all gets raptured. And all you have in front of you is this painful loss. And you can't, you don't remember the 100 other things that He did in the same season. Sometimes they just seem to disappear. And there is a fight involved to take hold of this cornerstone of theology, and that's the goodness of God. Taking hold of that and being unwilling to compromise. I cannot explain. I do not understand what happened. I do not understand why. The only thing I know for certain is God is good. Yes. And so I'm going to let that define everything that I go through. That has to be my point of reference. That has to be on my compass. That has to be due north. Everything else is measured from there. And what that meant for me is when my wife breathed her last, 6:58 p.m., July 13th, 2022, she took her last breath. The first response, whole family's in the room. First response. So we raise our hands and we give God thanks for his goodness, for always being the healer. You don't get those moments over and over, and we don't want those moments. We don't want moments like that. But once you've been given that moment, I don't ever believe that God created the crisis, the disease. I don't buy into that at all. But we're alive on a planet that's got problems. And sometimes those issues, those problems affect us. And it's not necessarily because we did something wrong. We are being groomed for eternity. And every victory you've ever had is eternal in its impact. Every loss you've ever had is temporal. Every loss is temporal. Every victory is eternal. And the impact of what God has done has to be treasured and held on to. There has to be a certain stubbornness, if you will. I will, you know, he says in Psalms 103, forget not his benefits. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment that keeps you sane, because we live in an insane environment at times. And the determination, it's not like, you know, I've told you guys over and over, I've tried to be as open and transparent as I know how to be on just the journey of going through loss. And I've not talked about it for a while, but I know for maybe 6 or 8 months, week after week, I would just talk to you about the process. I'm not trying to be strong. I'm trying to be faithful. Wow. There's a difference. If I try to be strong, I'm going to get my flesh involved somehow. I'm going to, through self-determination. See, faith doesn't come from striving. It comes from surrender. What we want in life is we want to maintain faithfulness to the Lord. And to live faithfully before him, there has to be that activity of faith that's stirring up in our hearts. There's this concept about faith. I feel like probably most of us need an overhaul in our understanding of faith. And when it says have faith in God, it actually could be translated and probably should be translated have the faith of God. Because our understanding of faith involves a lot of sweat and determination and self-will. And faith and belief are different things. You can believe with your mind, but faith comes out of your heart. And you can determine to believe something, and oftentimes all we're doing is we're putting our spiritual will into motion, but it has nothing to do with authentic faith. Because authentic faith is either a gift from God or it's a fruit of God's work in us. It either grows through use or it's a sudden gift for a moment. And that whole issue of being faithful before the Lord has to do with us functioning in God's gift of faith. And I forgive me for promoting a book. It's not mine, so I can get away with it. It's called The Real Faith by Dr. Charles Price. And it's the classic book on faith. And he hits this thing over and over again so strongly. In fact, one of the publishers, the main publisher I work with, got the right to republish that book. It's an old book. It's a classic. And then put some of my footnotes and stuff in there. But it's available. But I just want to encourage you in this whole issue of faith that surrender is what takes us to faith. And, you know, we just had this wonderful time in worship. Do you know there's no authentic worship apart from surrender? Otherwise, we worship worship. If there's no surrender, then we worship the worship experience, but not the one we're worshiping. And there's a lot of worship of the worship experience because it's delightful, it's enjoyable, it's refreshing, it's encouraging. But it's possible for us to actually never connect with the Lord, but go through the songs and enjoy the music, being with people, the activity that's going on in the room. And the distinguishing mark of authentic worship is that it actually comes through brokenness. But I'm not using brokenness now as a term of something is wrong. Brokenness in the sense of I'm surrendered. I'm yielding to what the Lord is wanting to do, what the Lord is wanting to say. That's why faith really should be one of the most prolific things that grows during worship. Because authentic worship has to come out of surrender, where we come before Him, yielding to Him once again. God, it's your will that we're passionate about. It's your heart that we're passionate about. It's what you long for that we dream about. And we come before Him and acknowledge who He is. It's important to take these moments like that we had here tonight, and we take our understanding of who He is. When it says to love God with all my heart, my soul, my mind, it means I actually have to consider who He is and then take what I know about Him, put it on my lips and declare it. He hasn't forgotten who He is. I just need to say it. I need to declare, God, you are perfectly faithful. You've never been anything but faithful. And when I'm faithless, you remain faithful. And we take these things about Him that we're learning, that we see in Scripture, and we put them on our lips. And there's something, there's like this covenant that is made as we come before Him and we give sacrifice to the Lord. There's a covenant made between the heart of man and the heart of God. And we have this incredible privilege. We are, you know, we're not forbidden to gather together. We don't have, we don't have laws of the land that keep us from gathering together. So we have this great liberty to come together day after day after day and just to offer sacrifices of praise to God and to honor Him. And it's a great privilege that we have that kind of a liberty. I guess one of the things I'm wanting to say to you tonight is that these are very special moments, and they're life-changing, life-transforming moments. And whether you've had the best day of your life or the worst day of your life, grab your moment and give Him an offering. Give Him something that cost you. Give Him something that cost you. You've got guilt and shame. You've got questions. You've got confusion. You've got any of that stuff going on. Grab hold of it and give Him an offering. Say, God, you remain faithful. You are always the healer, and I honor you for that. And anyway, that's just kind of a spinoff, I guess, of my week or my month. I guess it's my month. But did I tell you where to go in your Bibles? No? How many of you have your Bible open? How many of you have a Bible? Oh, good. Open to Mark chapter 9. We're just going to do a couple verses, then I'll wrap it up. Mark chapter 9. I just like the story, so that's where we're going to read it. Mark chapter 9. You guys good down here? Are you sore yet? No. I mean, I'd be sore. My wife loved to sit on the floor. I'd just find a chair and sit next to her, you know. All right. Thank you, Lord. Mark chapter 9, verse 1. And he said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present or come with power." Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." Because he did not know what to say. I have that underlined in my Bible. He talked because he didn't know what to say. I am often with people who don't know what to say. And so they talk. And he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Go back to let's read the whole thing again. He said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." Now, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. I believe it's 3 of the Gospels that have this exact sequence. I don't remember now, forgive me, but I think it's 3 of the Gospels that have this statement. "There are some of you standing here who will not taste death till you see the kingdom come with power." And then it says, and 6 days later, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on a mountain, and he's transfigured before them. And I've heard people say that transfiguration was the kingdom coming in power. That doesn't make sense to me. Why would Jesus say, "There are some of you standing here who will not taste death for 6 more days"? There are some of you that will still be alive 6 days from now. I don't know if this will make sense to you, but how many of you have ever been bowling in a bowling? All right. So you got the pins at the end of the lane, and then in the lane itself, you have markers. And then I think it's 2 sets of markers. You have a set here and you have a set down there. And the point is that a good bowler knows that he releases his ball consistently every time. And so he has an initial target that if he hits the initial target correctly, he will hit the ultimate target. Does that make sense to you? He hits the initial target because there's an ultimate target that he wants to hit. A number of times in Scripture, the Lord will actually identify an initial target because of his intention to hit an ultimate target. For example, the Holy Spirit took up residence in you when you were born again. But the ultimate target is to be filled with this fullness. There's an initial target because there's an ultimate target that God has in mind. In this particular case, I'd like to suggest to you that Jesus being transfigured before them was actually a demonstration of what was going to happen to the church in the earth. Now, I know this sounds abstract and strange, and it's probably too big of a piece of meat for me to pick off and chew on for as short as I want to make this. But let me do it this way. That word transfigured is actually the same word as the transformed mind in Romans 12.
Wow.
I'd like to suggest to you that Jesus, his appearance in Luke's gospel, chapter 9, same chapter, when it talks about him being transfigured, it actually is describing his clothing, that he is clothed with lightning. So it has this description that he is actually clothed with lightning. So his clothing is, or flashes of lightning. Lightning is, as I understand, 50,000 times brighter than the sun. Lightning. So he's clothed with lightning. And it says he is transfigured. I'd like to suggest to you that that picture of Jesus, his transfiguration, is a picture in the natural of what the renewed mind looks like in the spiritual. And that the intention of the Lord is for the mind of Christ to be realized and lived in by the people of God on planet Earth. We dabble in it. We get moments of inspiration. We see clearly for moments. If you're anything like me, it's never 24/7. I get glimpses, and I love when I do. But I know it's my inheritance. But there's a difference between what's your inheritance, which is the difference between what you have in the bank account, and what you have in your pocket. You can have $1 million in your bank account and starve to death because you've got nothing in your pocket. We have the mind of Christ as our inheritance. It is our possession. But if I'm not living with the actual realization of the mind of Christ in my pocket, so to speak, in my present possession, then it's not having the kind of effect on me that it's supposed to have. And this renewed mind, this is an invitation of the Lord for us to come into a place where the brilliance of God is seen through our daily decisions. And it's not just the big spectacular things, the miracles and the healings. It's the daily decisions. It's the daily decisions. It's the bad report you get from the doctor. And instead of moving in fear, you just give God thanks. God, I thank you that you are in charge. You are in charge. That you haven't abandoned me. You said you'd never forsake me. It's the fact that we take these little moments and our life is actually built out of small decisions. Honestly, the big decisions are not that hard. What city to move to? You may have a real challenge trying to figure stuff, you know, what job to take, whatever. Those are easy. It's the little decisions that make your life what it is. It's the decision to stay that extra moment reading scripture. It's the decision to call that friend when it's inconvenient, but you just felt that prompting. It's those little decisions that you need to get going, but you see a friend on the other side of the room that you think just needs a word of encouragement, and you walk over and you take 5 extra minutes and you spend that moment. Our life is built out of those kinds of things. They actually shape us, literally school for eternity. So here we have this transformed mind. I'll just go on just a little bit more. It says Elijah appeared to, in verse 4, Elijah appeared to them with Moses. They were talking with Jesus. Why was it Moses and Elijah? You ever wonder why they showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration? They were both people that God killed. God took both their lives. Both of them were people that God took their lives. They weren't martyred. They didn't die a natural death. The Lord actually took their lives. Those two. Now, Enoch, I don't think he ever died. He just walked right on into eternity. I don't know how that works. I like it, but I'm not sure. It just, he was and then he was not. So I don't know how that works. But Moses, the Lord just took his life. The devil wanted Moses' body, and the angel of the Lord, you know, it's a bizarre story. Elijah went up in a whirlwind. So why would those two show up and talk to Jesus? Because Jesus was about to become sin and bear the wrath of God. He was about to be killed by the Father. I don't know if there's a pep talk. I don't know what's going on. I just think it's bizarre. In fact, I just opened a can of worms, and I'll just let you live with it. But it's fascinating to me that these two guys would show up and talk to Jesus. Why don't you stand? I think to leave it right there is just the greatest delight ever. Just to create confusion and let you figure it out. Say this with me. God has designed for me to have the mind of Christ. It is my possession. God has designed for me to have the brilliance of the mind of Christ. God's designed us to be brilliant. I was trying to think of something stupid to say there. Shouldn't be that hard, actually. Yeah. He's designed us to live with the brilliance of the mind of Christ. And here's what I want you to see is on this Mount of Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John were probably sleepy again. But when the one you're following has lightning for clothing, you suddenly wake up. And I've just got this sneaking suspicion that every time you and I function in the mind of Christ, the unseen world sees somebody's clothed in lightning. All right, help us, Jesus. Amen. Amen.